Director Burns.
He is joining us still. Oh. He's perhaps we want to move forward and then we can circle back around to Mr. Burns.
Sure. Okay. So while we're, and I can't see him, so if you just interrupt me at some point, if he's suddenly available, I'll just go over what he's got for Bureau of Remediation Waste Management. It is the largest bureau in the agency. There are 5 divisions. There's also a deputy bureau director because the scope and scale of the materials that are managed under the jurisdiction of that bureau is so significant. We have an emergency response training coordinator. As I mentioned, we have a response services division that's available 24/7 to respond to environmental hazardous material and oil releases. And so there are some pretty significant training requirements for those responders, as well as other members of the Bureau who do a lot of their work at sites that have contamination present. The Bureau also works with and provides support for 2 boards. One is the Board of Underground Storage Tank Installers. We implement a federal program regarding underground oil storage tanks, and we require an annual inspection of those tanks, as well as those tanks to be installed and removed by certified installers and inspectors. And this board is a professional oversight board that ensures that everyone who is certified follows manufacturer specifications and a code of ethics for their work. We also have a cleanup and response fund review board that was created at the same time that the what some people know of as the groundwater and surface water oil funds were created. This board hears appeals of deductible determinations for homeowners. So if you own a private residence and let's say you have a home heating oil tank that has a release, you can have that the cost of that release covered by the oil fund and pay a small deductible into the fund for that coverage. The Bureau of Remediation Waste Management interacts regularly with EPA, also the AG's office, particularly around issues like liability for contamination. They also work with State Fire Marshal around oil storage, Maine Emergency Management Agency, Maine CDC, and Department of Agriculture. Next slide. So some of the major, and he still hasn't showed up. I can't see him. Can you, by any chance? Okay. So major programs implemented by this bureau, primarily under federal delegation, as I mentioned, the Emergency Response Services, oversight of large and small oil storage facilities. The Bureau is also home to our bottle bill program, which we inherited from Department of Agriculture several years ago. And that has been combined with our other sustainability programs, like our product stewardship programs, for instance, for electronic waste. We have both hazardous and solid waste programs, as well as our remediation program. In the remediation programs, there's both the Superfund cleanups and uncontrolled sites cleanup. And uncontrolled sites is like our state corollary to the Superfund program. This is where responsible parties are designated and we coordinate with them to have them fund cleanup of those sites. A site would be designated as an uncontrolled site if it does not qualify, if the public health risk is not significant enough from it for the EPA to designate it as a Superfund. It would then be a site that we would manage at the state level in a similar manner. We also coordinate with EPA to leverage brownfield grants to help clean up contaminated sites where a responsible party, for instance, may not be available. As well as to provide some liability protection from purchasers of property. So our voluntary response action program is a very important program to help economic redevelopment, particularly in some of our communities where old industrial sites, the responsible parties are long gone. It's difficult to get those parcels back on the tax rolls, and working through our VRAP program gives future purchasers a way to help us get the site cleaned up without acquiring a lot of very scary environmental liability that can go with it. Next slide. So these are some examples of the kind of work that the Bureau of Remediation and Waste Management is involved in. Obviously, top left is bottles that we cover under the Bottle Bill Program. Top center is a home heating oil tank. We see releases from home heating oil tanks at a rate of about 300 a year. So we'll say there's almost one spill a day from a home heating oil tank. And I just make a pitch now to anyone who's listening. If you have one of these, please make sure you take a look at it every once in a while. I've heard stories about people who have them hidden in some crawl space under their basement. And I don't want our responders to be the first one who's seen that in a long time. So if you have one, go take a look at it. Make sure that it's in good condition. Top right is an example of our emergency response vehicles, not to be confused with DOT trucks. They drive around in big orange trucks too. Bottom left is the old Heartland Tannery facility after it was vacated when that company went through bankruptcy. So this is an example of a facility that was designated as an uncontrolled site. And through coordination with the town and our voluntary response action program, we've been able to get that facility cleaned up and portions of it reused. Bottom center is, I believe, a landfill and the landfill liner. Sorry, Dave Burns isn't here to talk about this one because he's been responsible for reviewing landfill engineering for a large part of his career. So we're lucky to have his expertise helping to oversee that program. And bottom right, I'm gonna guess wrong, but this is an example of someone collecting a sample out in the field. Next slide, please. Any questions regarding Bureau of Remediation and Waste Management issues?
I believe Mr. Burns is now in our meeting.
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm back. I don't know where we are. I really apologize. I lost my internet connection right as I knew I was coming up.
I covered all your slides, Dave, so you have to back clean up.
You covered all my slides? Did you say everything I was going to say? Because I don't want to bore people with too many details. But
Representative Tucker has a question.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Could you tell us about two things? One, Juniper Ridge, and number two, the plant in Hampton.
Okay. So Juniper Ridge landfills, the state-owned landfill, it's operated under contract by Casella. That continues to operate under an expansion permit. They are working to close out the older portions of the landfill at the same time that they're operating in the expansion area. And by closing out the older portions of the landfill, I mean there's some additional material that needs to be brought in to grade the side slopes appropriately. And as they're doing that, they will be closing those sections out. So once they switch over to the expansion, with the exception of bypass MSW waste, they are not routinely able to take municipal solid waste into that landfill anymore. The landfill has capacity through, I believe it's 2033 to 5, it's in that range. So that will be operating until then. With regards to the plant in Hampden, we are in discussions right now with the entity that is coming in to purchase assets and to operate the facility, Delta Thermo Electric, if I have the right name, or Delta Thermo Energy, I believe. Sorry. So those discussions are early on. They're talking with us about permitting and what needs to happen. Their intention, as they have related to us, is to come in and operate the plant with the same equipment that was being operated by Fibrorite. Delta Thermo has indicated they have a different back-end process that we are not aware of yet or familiar with, and they are intending in a couple of years' time to go through the permitting process in order that they can run their back-end equipment.
Thank you very much.
Representative Ziegler.
Thank you, and hello, David. So what's the time frame for, and what are we calling it now? It's not Fibrite anymore, not Coastal Resources, but going forward, the towns that are a part of MRC, when will, when do you think that the plant will start taking their waste?
So what we anticipate from the early discussions is a roughly 45 to 60 day permitting process to effectively change the various permits that the agency has with the existing facility. And then after that, it's not certain to me the exact time frame, but I'm hearing that that might be another 4 to 6 weeks before they're able to begin accepting. But they're very anxious to start accepting waste there again. They have kept all of the equipment operational. There have been a small crew on site at the facility that is maintaining and turning equipment and gears so that everything should operate when they're ready to reopen.
Does anyone else have questions?